this beautiful, warm November day. Not really. You know, this drive over this morning reminds me, don't let your life get into a rut. Because it's not easy. Anyway, hopefully everybody is safe driving this day or two after a really significant storm. We had 14 inches at our home, and I have a snow thrower that, well, it almost won, but I got the driveway clean. And but it's so sad to see all these trees that are just about ready to break off. Some of them did. But anyway, we're grateful. Especially if you are a visitor today, we welcome you. We're celebrating the sacrament of Holy Communion. All are welcome, and we're grateful that we can have our family of God together to worship this morning on Christ the King Sunday, the last Sunday of the church year. And if you look at the back of your bulletin, you'll see a bunch of announcements. I want to highlight a few of them. The annual Christmas party is coming up. It will be on December 5th at Flagship. But I've been told to remind you that if you want to go, you need to get your tickets either today or next Sunday at the latest. So be aware of that. We are preparing a Thanksgiving worship service, and that will be Thanksgiving Eve, November 23rd, with a potluck before the service at 5:30. Looking forward to that. Please note that there is a women's Bible study that is active and ongoing, and you are welcome to attend at 8:30 in the morning on Wednesday. So I've been happy to participate a couple times. Great poetry reading. You'll enjoy it. Wednesday morning at 8:30.
That's canceled this next week.
What?
Canceled this next week.
They
canceled this week.
Oh, this week is canceled. But be aware. 8:30 on Wednesdays. Thank you. And of course, today is a special congregational meeting following this service in Fellowship Hall to discern what will happen to the parsonage. Which reminds me, we have planned the first of a couple, maybe more, interim discernment sessions, and this will be on December 4th. There will also be one service on December 4th at 9 o'clock, and then the session will be in Fellowship Hall at 10 o'clock. And we'll be discussing and discerning and voting on the strengths and the gifts that you bring to this community as the people of God for yourselves as you worship, but also for God as he uses you in this community. What are your gifts and strengths? That will be the focus. And then the other part of that morning will be, what characteristics are you looking for in a new pastor? That will be be able to select five characteristics out of a whole bunch of them. So be aware of that. You're getting a letter from our president, Randy Kopfelman, to encourage you to come. And there'll be a notice in the newsletter about it also. So please be aware. December 4th at 10 o'clock. I think those are all the announcements we want to highlight. Please look at the rest of them. So, begin our worship by singing our opening hymn, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," number 634 in the hymnal, stanzas 1 through 4. Let us stand as we sing. 6.
Thank you.
Sun of righteousness shall shine with healing, beams of healing. Let us gather under the wings of God's mercy. Gracious God,
we acknowledge that we are sinners and we confess our sins, those known to us that burden our hearts, and those unknown to us but seen by you. We know that before you nothing remains hidden, and in you everything is revealed. Free us from the slavery of sin, liberate us from the bondage of guilt, and work in us that which is pleasing in your sight.
Dear friends, hear the good news. With a heart full of mercy and compassion, God saves us and forgives us all our sins. Christ, the dawn from on high, shines upon us, and by the light of the Holy Spirit, guides our feet into the way of peace.
Amen.
Let us join in praying together our prayer of the day.
O God, our true life, to serve you is freedom, and to know you is unending joy. We worship you, we glorify you, we give thanks to you for your great glory. Abide with us, reign in us, and make this world into a fit habitation for your divine majesty.
Thank you, choir. Today's first reading is from Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. Today's reading builds on the common ancient Near Eastern metaphor of the king as shepherd. Judah's unjust rulers have caused their people, their flock, to be scattered. Nevertheless, the Lord will raise up a new and righteous shepherd who will rule a restored Judah. Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, says the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who shepherd my people, it is you who have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended to them. So I will attend to you for your evil doings, says the Lord. Then I myself will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the lands where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them, and they shall not fear any longer or be dismayed, nor shall any be missing, says the Lord. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will rise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days Judah will be saved, and Israel will live in safety. And this is the name by which he will be called: the Lord is our righteous. The word of the Lord. The psalm today is Psalm 49. Please read responsibly. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be moved, and though the mountains shake in the depths of the sea. Though its waters rage and foam, and though the mountains tremble with its tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitat of the Most High. God is in the midst of the city. It shall not be shaken. God shall help it at the break of day.
The nations rage and the kingdoms shake. God speaks and the earth melts away.
The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come now, regard the works of the Lord, what desolations God has brought upon the earth. Behold the one who makes war to cease in all the world, who breaks the bow and shatters the spear and burns the shields with fire. Be still then and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. The second reading is from Colossians chapter 1, 11, verses 11 through 20. An early Christian hymn praises the mystery of the political, personal, and mystical Christ, the one who is present at creation and is eternally reigning with God. May you be made strong with all the strength that comes from his glorious power, and may you be prepared to endure everything with patience, while joyfully giving thanks to the Father, who has enabled you to share in the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has rescued us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. The word of the Lord. Please rise for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 23rd chapter. Amid scoffing and slander from those who sarcastically call him Messiah and King, Jesus reveals that to be Messiah and King is to give one's life for others. Here he uses his power to welcome a despised sinner to participate to paradise, but puts his own death into God's hands. The reading. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they cast lots to divide his clothing. And the people stood by watching, but the leader scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him, saying, "Are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." This is the God. Dear friends in Christ, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. Christ the King Sunday is somewhat sounding like Good Friday when you hear Luke proclaim, "When they came to the place of the skull, they crucified him there with two criminals, one on his right and one on his left." This moving account of Jesus' crucifixion is necessary for us to hear on Christ the King Sunday, because Jesus' ignoble and humbling death on the cross defines his reign as Christ the King. Those who crucified him mocked him and challenged him to save himself if he is the King of the Jews. Instead, Jesus' actions revealed a different kind of king, a different kind of world, the kingdom of God. But what does our world want from its kings and rulers? Here's a troubling example from something that happened to a woman by the name of Kelly Gissen Danner in 2015. On September 30th, 2015, the state of Georgia executed Kelly Gissen Danner, who plotted the 1997 death of her husband, Douglas. While in prison, Kelly converted to Christianity and demonstrated that hers was a genuine conversion. Notably, she earned a theology certificate from Emory University and ministered to other inmates with a message of God's love that gave them hope when they were desperately in need. A few of them had actually attempted suicide. As her execution date approached, a group of former inmates transformed by Kelly's prison ministry joined many others who pleaded for the state for clemency, including correctional officers, Pope Francis, and supporters using a hashtag Kelly on my mind, and even Kelly's adult children who had lost their father because of Kelly's actions. All appeals that Kelly's sentence be commuted to life in prison were denied. The writer concludes, "Another reminder that criminal justice and the United States prioritizes vengeance over rehabilitation." A troubling case of what kings, leaders, presidents, parole boards want in terms of justice rather than rehabilitation. So what do Americans really think about Jesus? Christ the King. What should he really be like in our image? What are we looking for? Well, Brian Stoffergen, a theologian and commentator, shared this quote, which I think is very interesting. The true paradigm of ordinary American views of Jesus is Superman. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive, able to leap tall buildings in a single bound, it's Superman, strange visitor from another planet, who came to Earth with powers and abilities far beyond those of mortal men, and who, disguised as Clark Kent, mild-mannered reporter for the great metropolitan newspaper, fights an ever-ending battle for truth, justice, and the American way. That's what a lot of Americans look for in a king, a Messiah. Well, don't laugh. The human race is, was, and probably always will be deeply unwilling to accept a human Messiah. We don't want to be saved in our humanity. We want to be fished out of it. We crucified Jesus not because he was God, but because he blasphemed. He claimed to be God and then failed to come up to our standards of assessing the claim. It's not that we weren't looking for the Messiah. It's just that he wasn't what we were looking for. Our kind of Messiah would come down from a cross. He would carry a folding phone booth in his back pocket. He wouldn't do a stupid thing like rising from the dead. He would do a smart thing like never dying at all. Very interesting. The fact that Jesus did die and did not save himself says something about his reign as Christ the King. Instead of climbing down from the cross and shocking the Roman and Jewish rulers, Jesus quietly welcomed a repentant thief into heaven and then bowed his head and died. This man, the good thief, if you will, asked only to be remembered when Jesus comes into his kingdom. Instead, Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." In our liturgy, when we come to praying the Lord's Prayer, often the pastor will say, "Lord, remember us when we come into your kingdom and teach us to pray." A very good connect between a Sunday morning prayer and what happened on the cross to the repentant criminal. Christ the King Sunday is the Christian exclamation point on the reign of Christ in 2016. Throughout this year, we've been given glimpses of this different kind of king. Do you remember seeing Jesus when we heard about a man who owned a vineyard? And it came time for him to gather the grapes. And there were so many grapes and such an abundant crop, he couldn't get enough people to bring the crop in. And so he asked more to come in toward the end of the day. And he paid those who came at the morning hour and worked 8 hours the wage that he had agreed. But those who came and worked only 2 hours, he gave them the same amount. And they complained, the ones who got paid for 8 hours of work. And the man said, "Did I not agree to pay you what you asked for? Why do you begrudge my generosity so that I give the same to these people who came late?" Did you see Jesus in that man? Our God is a generous God. Or what about the parable of the prodigal son? The guy who got his inheritance, went off and spent it, and finally came to himself, realized that his only chance for living again is to go home. And what did his prodigal father do? Not only did he meet him down the road and give him a great big hug and welcome him back into the family, but he slaughtered the fatted calf and threw a party. The prodigal father, the excessive loving father, not only took care of his son who was lost, but also took care of his elder brother who was prodigal in his anger toward his brother. And then as a loving father told his prodigal brother, oldest son, "You're with me all the time. Don't worry. It'll be okay." Did you see Jesus in that father's actions, lavishly forgiving and loving? Or finally, did you catch a glimpse of Jesus in the story of the Good Samaritan? It was a foreigner, a Samaritan, who picked the poor man up out of the ditch and brought him on a donkey to an inn and paid for his healing. Did you see Jesus in that foreigner? Glimpses all pointing to a very different kind of king, a very different view of justice. So Jesus really is not Superman. No, Jesus did not save himself in order to embarrass and shame those who killed him. No, he prayed for them. "Father, forgive them." So what does all of this mean for us on this Christ the King Sunday as we take a look again at who Jesus really is? Watching Jesus die as he did, as a victim of religious fear and political expediency, compels us to shed our pride of false sense of spiritual security, our self-righteous view of what we can do to save ourselves. Christ the King Sunday means it's time to acknowledge the truth of our human predicament. Unworthy sinners are we. We see the foreign criminal on the cross, the forgiven criminal on the cross, and we quietly pray, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Our brother Martin Luther called a spade a spade. He said, "We are simul justus et peccator." That's a Latin phrase that means we are at the same time just and sinful. Luther said we are saints and sinners. So living in our baptismal hope and promises, we come and kneel before the King of Kings, Christ the King. And we look at his death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. And we can believe and trust that the words he spoke from that amazing experience are for us. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even though he die, shall live in my kingdom forever." Christ the King, a different kind of justice in a different kind of world, the kingdom of God. Thanks be to God for the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Continue with the hymn of the day, "Beautiful Savior," and let us stand on the last stanza of the hymn, "Beautiful Savior," 838. offer our prayers to the church, those in need, and all of creation. For Christ's church on earth and for those who proclaim the good news of your reign, that all divisions cease, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For your creation in all its beauty, for water and land, plants and animals, for those who advocate for the just use of the earth, that all creatures enjoy life abundant, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For government leaders, for those who provide justice and safety, for those in war-torn places, that all be guided by peace, the peace of the Lord, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the alienated, the sick and suffering, for those living with HIV/AIDS, and for those in need of reconciliation, that God provide them with skilled medical practitioners and counselors. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those traveling this week, for those gathered with family and friends, for protection from inclement weather, and for the body of Christ gathered here, let us pray. In thanksgiving for all the saints who lived their lives, giving thanks to God and are now at rest, that their witness strengthen our confidence in the resurrection to eternal life, let us pray. Almighty God, you have promised to hear those who call upon your name. We commend all our spoken and silent prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated as we continue with our morning offering. Together, the prayer, the offertory prayer.
Merciful God, let us pray that we be scattered among the hills, who are gathered together to become one bread. So let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen.
We confess our faith together in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead.
Christ in the night in which he was betrayed took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to his disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in
heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Welcome to the Lord's table. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please stand if you're able and receive the blessing. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto life everlasting. Amen. Let us join in praying the prayer at the communion. We give you thanks,
Heavenly God, that you have gathered your scattered flock again this day. Feeding us richly with food and paradise, accompany us as we serve you all the days of our lives, and gather us with the saints in the day of our death. Through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and Lord. Amen.
God, who loves us, who gives us eternal consolation and good hope, comfort your hearts and strengthen them in every good work and word. And the blessings of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you forever.
Amen.
Closing hymn is Soon and Very Soon, number 439.